This week on the Time Bat Show.
Like, if you call in the next 30 minutes, they throw this one in, you know what I mean?
Wait, there's more.
So this pan, have you seen, like, a waffle maker? Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 142, I think, of the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we have a great episode for you today, don't we, Bat Snacks?
It's been a good week, and we're going to have a great episode
together. It is. Is there any topics that we like wanted to get out of the way, out of the gate?
Yeah, we can start with this. You ready?
Yep, let's go!
So, right before the show started, I asked you if it would be okay if I brought up what I did on 9/11.
I love how we're starting with this. This is the best. Yes, it's fine.
Oh, and it's really weird.
And you were like, should I screen it? And I was like, no, don't screen it. Just do it live. So, this okay. is the first time I'm hearing about this. And this might be really messed up.
But better to get it. We're going to stop if it is.
Better to get it done in the beginning, because then we can go back and edit. And it'll be fine. Yeah. So go ahead.
This is what I did. I've never done this before.
Okay, I'm ready.
So in the lead up to 9/11.
So yesterday was 9/11, just for clarity of the people that are maybe listening to this later.
So this year I've been reading a lot of the Wikipedia front page because I've noticed it's a really good resource for like news and cool facts and stuff. Sure. And leading up to 9/11, they have had a bunch of featured articles on what happened.
In 9/11.
Yeah, on 9/11.
Sure.
You know, I read some of them, and I found some online resources, and one of the ones that I found was at archive.org. They have, like, 30,000 hours of recorded TV of that week, of, like, NBC News, CNN News, like, 24 hours of all the commercials, all the featured stories and everything.
Everything during the 9/11 week, yeah.
And they're organized in a way that you can see, you know, what was played on TV at what hour of the day, which is really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool, actually. So did you go through this archive and look at it?
Well, I made a plan.
Oh, God.
So the weird thing I did was, the day of 9/11, I started watching NBC News on 9/11/2001, and I played it back in real time and watched.
Oh my God.
I watched like 6 hours worth of NBC News at work. Just kept it on my computer like it was happening.
Oh my God.
Isn't that weird that I did that?
Was it like synced with real time? Like,
yes.
At this time, this would be happening? Oh my
yes.
God. That is so weird. That's a little serial killer-y. I mean, not that bad. That's so weird. Was it... Why did you do this? What was the point of this exercise?
So, the point was, 9/11 happened in my lifetime, and it was a very serious event when it happened. Sure. I was in grade school. They literally stopped the school, and we all started watching the TV.
Grade or something, or sixth grade or something like that.
We were a little younger, I
think. Maybe fifth grade?
It was, I think, fourth or fifth. But anyway, they stopped the school that day, and they turned on NBC News for us to watch live.
I remember.
So I was, like, reliving that memory from my past.
Wow. Did you, like, get in touch with your younger self in that moment?
I mean, I thought about it and how, like, weird a day that was and
it was a very you know,
stuff
weird
like
day.
That.
I remember I lived in Georgia during that time, and you still lived in Florida. And because that was the year I was randomly in Georgia. Do you remember that in our childhood where I was like there for a year or whatever? And like, I didn't have any friends in Georgia. So I'd called you like every day on the phone, and I think I bothered you, but it's fine. And I remember calling you on 9/11 at like 8 at night, and like, you're like, hello. And I'm like, hi. And like, the first thing I said was like, did you hear about the airplanes or something like that? And it was like really morbid, but you know, it's weird to process it as a young kid because it doesn't really make any sense.
But anyway. And, you know, going back and watching those on the news, it's like kudos to those newscasters. Every channel I watched
keeping it together.
Or rewatched over the week, they kept it together better than I could have.
It's messed up. It's messed up.
Yeah, it is. It's super screwed up. And it's messed up that I did that.
I don't know how you... Yeah, that's very interesting. I don't think I would ever think to do that. I would be like, oh, it's cool that they have an archive of every minute of 9/11 coverage. But I would never think to myself, let me go back and time it down to the minute on the same day and just watch all these. So these are online, right? So you just watch them whenever you want.
Yeah, they're at archive.org, and so they're organized by the hour. So
like
at
9 o'clock, did you like click on the 9 o'clock one and start watching?
Yeah, basically. I did.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you learn anything about 9/11 and or yourself?
Nothing moment? I didn't already know, but it did make me reflect.
Sure. I think we should do this every year. No, we should.
Celebrate.
This reminds me of that scene in... have you seen I Am Legend?
The movie? I've seen it.
The movie? It's about the zombie apocalypse or whatever. And, like, Will Smith's the only guy that survives. And every day he wakes up in the morning and puts a VHS of the news that was recorded the day the zombie apocalypse happened. So he, like, watches a recording of the news to, like, pretend that the day is like a normal day, but in reality it's like not, right?
Yeah.
So it just kind of reminded me of that.
That might have inspired me doing this, because that's one of my favorite movies.
So there you go. Maybe that's maybe you were remembering Will Smith and I Am Legend. And that's what happened. Well, that's all we're talking about 9/11 on this episode of the Time Pass Show. That's it. That's it. It's over. We've gotten through the morose subject. I'm glad I'm glad you shared. It wasn't that weird. It's actually more interesting, I think. So, cool. Very cool.
Nice. I'm
trying to think of... I don't know how to segue into any topic from that in any way. Like, I do not have any segue. 9/11, and now we're going to talk about vaping. Like, that doesn't... It's fine. That's it. That's the next topic is vaping.
Yeah.
9/11 to vaping. That's what we're doing. That's the pivot of the Time Bat Show.
That's what's happening in 2019.
There you go. Now we did it. 19 years later, or 18 years later, vaping is the big killer. Oh my God, that was bad. So vaping has been in the news a lot over the past week or two. Have you read about this stuff?
Yeah, I heard that people were dying from it.
Mm-hmm. They've identified like a disease that is caused by vaping now.
Okay.
So like it's officially bad for you. I mean, we already knew it was bad, but now it's officially bad. You know.
There wasn't like empiric like cuz it was such a new thing, people didn't have enough time to kill themselves with it yet.
Right.
Like, I think anyone who has vaped or has seen someone vape, you can kind of intuitively tell that that's not good for you.
Right. You're like you're breathing this flavored vapor into your lungs. It just doesn't make... I think everybody knew it was bad, like scientists, but there was no empirical evidence of, oh, here's, like, they couldn't point to someone and be like, this guy died because of vaping, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now they can. It's, like, been three people. Anyway, this topic kind of... it's an interesting topic because smoking was big 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
And now smoking is kind of gone by the wayside and vaping is the new thing. And it's funny to me that we've literally just traded one bad thing for another bad thing. And the whole draw of vaping originally was like, oh, it's healthier than cigarettes and it gives you the same nicotine thing, right? Without having to buy cigarettes and it's not as cancerous or whatever. But like, maybe vaping slightly better, but it's still bad, you know? It's like you're trading like a shotgun for a pistol, and you know, at this point. So I don't know. I don't know what your thoughts on vaping are.
Yeah, my thoughts on vaping, I've done it before. I'm not going to I'm not going to pretend I haven't. Mm-hmm. And it's nice. It's very expensive. And
have you owned a vaping thing? A vapor?
I don't want to say.
Oh my God. Just tell me if you've owned a vape. I know you.
Yeah, I have. I like to try new stuff like that.
Sure. How much is it? I don't know. I don't actually know.
It can be anywhere from like $10 to like $1,000. It really depends on what you want to do.
How much was yours, your vape?
I'm not going to like get into brands or prices or models or anything. Fine.
Did you, like, know a lot about vapes for a minute there? You did, didn't you? You did.
No, I didn't.
I can tell. No, it's fine. I'm not mad. I'm not, like, judging you for vaping. I'm just thinking about vaping is all, you know?
So, here's... I think that if you're going to do something like that, that you should smoke.
What's that?
Because vaping isn't cool, and it's bad for you.
That's true.
Smoking is really cool.
We shouldn't say that on the air.
It is.
But it's really bad for you.
Right.
So if you are going to do something bad for you, you might as well do the coolest one.
At least pick the cool one. Like,
vaping is like the opposite of cool. Like, you look less cool vaping than if you just didn't do anything, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially with, like, the big, bulky vapes. They look like, I don't know, they look like toys, you know? And then you, like, hold it up to your mouth and you blow a big vape thing. And it's like, that's dumb. You know? Smoking is, like,
it's a really little dumb.
More discreet. You know, you got the cigarette, and that's it. And when you're done, you throw it away, like, in a cool way, you know?
Smoking, too, is you're, like, you have control over fire. You use a lighter or a match to, like, and then you light your cigarette.
I think it's more bonding, too, right? It's, like,
yeah,
people that smoke, they can, like, trade cigarettes and share lighters. People who vape, you're not, like, trading any of that stuff. You're just vaping, you know? And you can do it anywhere. I think that's the thing, right? So, if I chose one, I would definitely be a smoker. Not that I'm going to be either, because my lungs aren't very good, and I'd probably die very quickly. But the thing about vaping is you can do it anywhere. It almost becomes like a subconscious thing, right? You're just like, have you seen those ones that, like, they have, like, the necklaces, lanyards for the vape? Like, that's, don't get me started on that. But
they,
like,
they make them really small, and without, like, any exhaust, I don't know what the plume cloud, they minimize that so that you can do it at your desk. You can do it, like,
at your desk at work or whatever. That's like, okay, well, you've really lost the point, I feel like, of smoking, which is like, oh, I'm a smoker. I'm going to go outside for a smoke break, and the other smokers are going to smoke with me, and we're going to smoke at the same time.
Yeah.
And it'll be cool. But vaping is just like, you know, you're just like slowly poisoning yourself every a few minutes. Whereas smoking, you're like, yes, you're poisoning yourself in bursts, but you're doing it with other people who are poisoning themselves at the same time. So it's like kind of a cooler experience, in my opinion. I've never done it, but it just seems like it.
Yeah, you're onto something there. Smoking is like, you start because you want to socialize with other smokers.
It's more of like a culture.
Yeah, smoking. Vaping, you're like, I want to be as addicted as I can to this poisonous stick.
Right, and just like sit at my desk and puff this thing over and over again. I don't know, it just doesn't seem very... Doesn't seem like something I'd want to do, you know. But I don't know. If you're vape and you love it, let us know at contact@timebestsound.com or tweet at us at timebestsal on the Twitter. Because I don't know any vapers anymore. I used to, but they all quit because they realized it was really stupid. But I don't know.
In my defense, I used to smoke cigarettes and I did begin vaping because I did not want to smoke cigarettes anymore.
Right. So a lot of people I've heard use vaping as like a way to quit smoking, and then eventually the plan is to quit vaping. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like that makes sense to me, that progression. But what it seemed like, that's what vaping seemed like when it first started. But nowadays, it seems like people that never have smoked before are just like, yeah, I'm going to vape.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like all of a sudden, you're like, what? Why? What happened? You know,
why not just smoke?
Just smoke. Just smoke something. Oh, well. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So I should try. I've tried vape before, and it was bad because it was like grape flavored or something, and I don't like grape that much. And I didn't care for it at all. But I know they have a lot of flavors. They have, this is an interesting thing. I remember at work one day, I was talking about vaping, and we were discussing all the flavors, and I looked it up, and apparently there's an oatmeal raisin vape flavor.
Oh, yeah. Dessert flavors are really popular. Yeah.
So if I were to vape, I would buy oatmeal raisin vape, and we'd see how it works. Because, like, that's the one thing I'm curious about, is the flavors.
Yeah. I mean, like, obviously they're good, right? They have to be good, or people wouldn't do them.
Right. But I'm curious, like, how they are. You know, like, do they actually taste like the thing or whatever?
They do. Some of them are really, really accurate.
Is it, like, candy flavor? Like, is it sweet? Or is it, like...
Some of them really taste like cookies or, like, dessert or something. It's pretty weird.
Do they... This would be a really stupid question. Are you prepared for this stupid question? I'm prepared,
yeah.
Do they have calories in
the- I'm not sure.
Like, how do you get the flavor without... eating it?
I don't know. Science, okay. Man.
Follow-up question. Why the hell haven't we invented nicotine-less vapor food that gives you the taste of cookies without actually nicotine and without giving you calories? Like, okay. Let's say...
Walk me through what you're thinking about.
Okay. You have vape, right? And you got... Cupcake. I'm sure that exists, right? Cupcake vapes. Okay, great. So cupcake vapes taste like cupcakes, and they have nicotine in them. Or whatever the... I don't know if it's nicotine. Is it nicotine?
Yeah.
Whatever the ingredient is. Nicotine in it, and they go in your lungs, and they fuck everything up, right? So why can't we have a vapor that is food-flavored but doesn't have nicotine in it and doesn't have all the other drug parts that gets you addicted to it and, like, screw up your lungs? And it's just, like flavored water vapor. You know what I mean? So, like, they breathing... Have it. They do?
Yeah, they do.
Flavored water vapor?
It's not... It doesn't work that way for, like, water vapor. They use, I think, glycerin vapor because it's thicker.
Okay.
It's the same kind of vapor they use in smoke machines, which just, like, makes you feel really good about what you're doing.
Oh, my. Okay. And but you can, like, suck it in and taste it, right?
Yeah, and but they do make it without nicotine, and that's how you stop smoking. Eventually, you work your way down to that nicotine-less vapor, and then you just quit altogether.
Well, here's my question. Is there another market for nicotine-less vapor? Not the people that are trying to quit. The people that want to taste... cupcakes but don't want to eat a cupcake.
I think there are. I think people do this. Yeah.
I feel like this is an untapped thing because plenty of people want to go to diet. Plenty of people want to keep tasting cupcake or whatever. But they don't want to stop. So they could just inhale this vapor and taste it and that's it, you know. The end. You know what I mean?
I think that winds up being a similar thing to like Diet Coke though. Like, if you drink a lot of Diet Coke, it makes you enjoy sugar more because it's sweet.
That's true.
So you, like, crave more sweet things.
So do you think if I had cupcake vape, not nicotine, and I did that a lot, I would just want cupcakes, real cupcakes, like, really bad all the time?
I mean, I would.
You would. Yeah. I mean, I've never had it before, so I don't know how accurate it is. You know what I mean? But in a world where it's, like, really close... I almost feel like we could be fighting a lot of overeating this way. You know, you're just like, oh, I really want a cookie. Like, okay, take a hit.
Just your vape one.
Cookie vape. Just vape the cookie. You know, and then you're good. And then you're like, okay, I'm satisfied.
All right. Maybe if you could get like a Star Trek style, what do they call it? Replicator that de-atomizes the cookie and just shoots it into your lungs.
Yes. Without the calories.
Instead of in your stomach.
All right, I got a great idea. No, this is it. This is the future. This is the future of meals. Okay, so think of the most, like, healthy but, like, bland food imaginable. Like, I'm thinking, like, bran. You know what I mean? Like, bran muffins or something, right? It's, like, it's got a lot of zinc or whatever, you know, but it's really flavorless. And it's just really bland, okay? And you're supposed to eat that for breakfast because it's good for you. But instead, you want, like, a chocolate cookie or a something else, like a strawberry Pop-Tart with frosting on it or whatever, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So what you do is you take your vape, your flavored vape, you take your bran muffin, Are you following me here?
Yeah, you got one in one hand and one in the other.
You take a bite of the bran muffin, and then you vape at the same time as you're taking a bite. And then the flavors kind of combine in there. And then it feels like you're eating a chocolate cookie or whatever, a strawberry Pop-Tart or whatever, but you're actually eating a bran muffin. Right?
Maybe. I mean, we could try it.
I mean, this sounds like a pretty good idea to me.
You, like, chase the healthy bran with Pop-Tart vape.
Exactly. And you could do this with any food, too. Like, any food they have a vape for. So, like, if you really wanted to
What if I really wanted, like, sausage?
Okay. Well, then you eat, like, a hearty vegetable that has a similar texture. You just gotta match texture, really. Yeah. Right? So you eat, like, I don't know, what's a
cauliflower.
Hearty cauliflower, right? It's kind of chewy. Take a bite of that. Big ol' vape of sausage. And then you chew and you swallow. And there you go. And you could just match up food to food with all this stuff. And you could, like, trick your brain into thinking you're eating delicious food, but you're really eating, like, healthy. You know?
I mean, maybe it would work. You might be onto something there.
This could be the next diet thing right here.
The vape diet.
The vape diet. I think this is a good idea, honestly. I mean, I'm surprised no one's thought of this before. Like, because...
Okay. All right, so I think here's how you organize the kit, because sure. You know, every person has very individual preferences on what they like to eat, what kind of unhealthy stuff that is their thing. Mm-hmm. So the vapor food kit comes with like meat, flour, eggs, and like spices, and you have to make your own vapor. You
combine it together.
Yes.
So like, if you wanted a cheeseburger, you'd be like,
you gotta get your beef.
Beef. And then the, like, bread vape. And then
ketchup,
like,
and tomato. And mustard.
And then you load that all into one vape. Can you do that? Can
you mix them all? Shake it up.
Oh, you can? Mm-hmm. Perfect. See, this is even right in itself. Shake it up, and then you take a bite of whatever, your bran muffin or whatever the hell it is. And then you're like, oh, you imagine. Close your eyes, and you imagine you're eating a cheeseburger. I mean... I think it's pretty good.
You know what? You could even adjust it that way. It needs a little more mustard. You open up your vape capsule.
You have a little small syringe, like a vape that you could like control the amount, so you can be like really finite. Like, I just want a hint of mustard, you know, a little hint of mustard in this one. I think this is a $1 million idea right here, the vape diet. It's just me though. You're ready for your first trivia question?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm gonna. Okay, I'm gonna read it to you. So your first category is hats. Would you like to pick a lifeline for this one?
I'll choose 50-50.
50-50, all right. Excuse me, I'm hiccuping. Okay, the Nuram Hat Museum, NUROM. Which contains hats from all over the world, is located in which country? Is it A, the Turks and Caicos, B, Ghana, C, Papua New Guinea, or D, Israel? The Nuram Hat Museum.
Can you spell Nuram?
N-U-R-O-M, Nuram.
Israel, Guam, was it?
Israel, Ghana. Papua New Guinea, Israel, Ghana, Papua New Guinea, or Turks and Caicos.
I have no idea.
What's your gut say?
My gut says I'll use 50-50 for sure.
Okay, you need that now?
Yes.
Okay. It's either the Turks and Caicos or Ghana.
The Nuram is in the museum?
Yeah, Nuram. N-U-R-O-M.
I'll go with Ghana, final answer. There's no logic.
You're just going for it?
Yeah.
Ghana is correct.
It was lucky.
Well, you had a 50-50 shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the Hat Museum in Ghana. This has literally one sentence on Wikipedia. The Wikipedia link just says... The Nuram Hat Museum contains all the hats of all over the world and is located in Ghana. And that's like the entire Wikipedia page.
I love that they have a Wikipedia page.
You know, there's a lot of one-sentence Wikipedia pages out there. And
yeah.
I kind of want to read them all at one point. You know what I mean? Like, because it can't be that long. It can't... Well, it probably would take a long time. Because I bet there's more one-page Wikipedia pages than any other type of page, honestly. But I think it would be interesting to, like... If you could go on Wikipedia and randomize it so it only shows you one page... Like, one-sentence articles. Or, like, articles under three sentences or something like that.
I'd like to read those, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. Have you ever been to one of those weird museums that's only has one specific kind of item?
Like, I have not, no.
You usually drive out of your way and you like, MapQuested it or Google Maps it or something.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your way and... Google Maps is taken into you like a residential area, and you're like turning.
And you're like, why am I going into someone's house?
Yeah. You show up at like a house looking place, and it's like, look at all of my ceramic angels.
Have you ever been to one of those?
Yeah, they have a bunch of them in St. Augustine.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I forgot about that. Okay, I have been to some of those.
Yeah,
I've been to one that was like, God, what was it? It was like knickknacks. It was like collectible. Some things. Oh, I don't remember what it was.
They're usually these, like, insane things that no one would ever want. But for some reason, one person has, like, all of them.
It was, like, tin something. It wasn't, like, tins. But it was, like, something made of tin. Like,
tin clowns.
Yeah, it was just like, what the hell? And it was, like, a million of them. I was like, this is wild. But, you know, more power to a person that does that, you know?
Yeah.
What possesses someone to be, like, the collector of that.
I need to have all of them. Yeah.
So, this is going to sound weird, but I feel like there's two ways that you would go about doing that. Why you would do this. A, like you said, for some reason they're compelled to own every single one imaginable. Right? Mm. My personal reason, if I ever did this, my reason would not be that. It would be, I want to be known for something. And this is the thing that I'm available to have. That's no, like, there's only a certain amount of things you can be known for in the world. And that number dwindles every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can be known for something that's a popular thing, but that's really hard. Because, like, it's hard to be the best basketball player in the world or... the smartest, the person that knows the most about, you know, information security or whatever, right? Those are hard things,
yeah.
Right?
Or like they're very competitive.
Collect the most cars or, you know, whatever. But like, if you're the most knowledgeable collector of antique pins from 1932 to 1936, you've probably got the market cornered in that, you know.
Yeah, and even then, that one feels thing. Like there might be some people that are really serious about that.
There might be some competition there. So, like, my point is you would pick something really niche and to ensure that, like, this is, I'm going to be able to do this. This is my thing. You know what I mean? That's that's why I would do it. So I wouldn't even pick something I liked. I would just pick something that I knew has the greatest chance of me being, like, the best of that category.
This would be such a great movie. Okay, so there's a man or a woman, and they're having a midlife crisis, and they decide, oh my God, I need to make something of my life. I haven't done it yet.
I'm not known for anything at all.
So they decide, okay, I'm going to collect the most ceramic pins from 1935 in the whole world. And you set about, and you're building your collection, and you're going to all the pin shows at the local convention center.
Right. All those pin shows.
But guess what? As you go to these conventions, you get a stalker.
Oh, no.
Someone who is the current champion pin collector from 1935 sees that you're coming after his title.
And he's spooked.
He's like, oh, man. Yeah.
And he probably did the same thing years ago. He was like, this is my thing. This is my niche.
Yeah.
No one's going to do this, and then you're doing it.
Yeah, you know? And it turns... He becomes weirdly competitive. He, like, slashes your tires in the convention center
parking lot. He slashes them with, like, pins.
Yes.
It takes a really long time.
He leaves, like, bad omen pins on your car as, like, a sign. Yeah.
He leaves a voodoo doll with your face on it with pins stuck in it. Like,
oh,
with,
yeah.
With, like, some of his shitty pins stuck in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this is a really cool rivalry you could have because, mm-hmm. on the one hand, like, maybe the pins mean more to him than they do to you, but, like, you already have this sunken cost investment.
Where yeah, you've spend, already like, committed to being the pin guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he, like, really wants to be the pin guy.
Like, really bad.
Like, he's more about the pins, and you're more about the fame.
Yes.
If that makes any sense whatsoever. So it becomes, like, a really fucked up relationship.
Yeah.
And I think the movie should start as, like, a dark comedy, you know, it's like a goofy, quirky comedy, and then it gets darker as like it goes on.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes like a thriller where you're like afraid of the stalker that yeah. is gonna like get you or something,
because yeah. I mean, if you think about it, so the man who's the real deal into pins, like that's really his life, he sort of has more to lose than the main character.
That's true.
Because that's like his whole world. This is just like some random glory for you.
Yeah, and the main character recently started with the pins.
Yeah.
Like they have less invested. Albeit they probably invested a lot, but they have, like, their whole life is in pins. For mm-hmm. this guy, his whole life is pins. You know? And you're encroaching on his territory.
But maybe this person, their whole life has been failures so far. So if they fail at this too, the pins, it's just going to be too. Yeah, it's going to be too much. Oh,
okay. So this is basically like, have you seen The Prestige?
Yeah, I have.
It's like The Prestige, but with instead of magic, it's with pins.
Yeah.
One person is obsessed with being famous, and the other person is obsessed with being the best, and they like rivals. You know, but like they come at it from different angles, because the one guy that's obsessed with fame is like, I have to do, like, this is my one thing. This is my one shot. And the other guy is like, I have to be the best. This guy is, you know, he's, you know, he's trying to fight me for being the best. So
yeah,
that's the story of the pin thing.
In order to be the most famous, he has to take my place as the best. And that's exactly. unacceptable.
And then PinCon 2019 will recognize him as the pin guy of 1935 or whatever.
He gets a plaque and like a Wendy's gift certificate.
Free Frosty at Wendy's. Yeah. Every year they have like, this is the pin champion from this year. They have like specific years. It's like most pins from 1935 to 1937. And it's like this guy. And they give a plaque for each person that like collects. I don't know.
I always wonder about little subcultures like that. Like, have you heard about those people that have the orchid societies?
The what?
There's like orchid societies.
Like the flower?
Yeah, where you like, no. you can win best in show for best orchid.
I'm like fascinated by subcultures like that. I kind of want to like not be a part of it, but like,
I want to know the drama, you know?
I want to go, we've talked about this in the show before, like, yeah. I want to go to, like, some kind of convention that is, like, a subculture, and just, like, take it in, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, not make fun of them, just, like, observe, you know what
no.
I mean?
No. Definitely, like I mean, really cool. maybe laugh, but I want to take it in seriously. I want to sure. take them seriously.
We'll laugh to each other, you know, not, like, at them, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you see what I'm saying.
I do see what you're saying.
I don't know. I just think it would be fascinating. I would pick the nichest one I could find, though. You know?
I think pin collecting would be pretty niche.
Yeah, that would be pretty niche. Because there's plenty of subcultures that are, like, decently large. Like, we've talked about going to a furry convention before.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, yes, that's... It would be interesting. But, like, that's so... That's pretty widespread now. It's not that niche, and it's been covered in the news. Like, it's not really on the outliers of society anymore, right?
Yeah.
But pin collecting, that's, like, all the way on the edge, you know? That's yeah. way out there. So, I don't know. We'll think of something. I feel like it would be, like, based in a weird place, like Boise, Idaho or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or, like, definitely Madison, Wisconsin.
Midwest, yeah. You know,
it would be Midwest, small town. You know, they would meet in like an old church or something, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that. Anyway, pin collecting. I mean, this is a good movie idea. This is also an interesting segue. We went to Summer Games Done Quick, which is also a subculture-ish kind of thing, speedrunning. This is not where I'm going with this, actually. That's a subculture, too, although a pretty big one. But an interesting fact about that is some people choose to run... if you're not familiar with speedrunning, it's beating games really fast. Some people choose to devote their time to speedrun popular games like Mario 64 or, give me another good example, Final Fantasy VII or Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time or whatever. And they, like, want to be the best at that game. They're like, I'm going to have the best time. I'm going to beat this game in 5 hours or 3 hours or however long it takes. They're going to be the best. And that's, like, the speedrunning equivalent of, like, I don't know, the Olympics... getting the gold medal in the breaststroke or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Something good. And then there's other people that find the most obscure games in the world, and they decide that I'm going to be the best at this game. And I think the reason that they do that, because they know there's less competition for that random game, but that they still have the opportunity to be the best at something.
Yeah.
So, for example, I remember a couple years ago, people started playing, like, some really shitty SpongeBob game or something to, like, become the best at it. And it was a very small community because, I mean, there's only so many people that care about this game. But, like, some guy, like, got the best. But then, like, because it was, like, popularized at the convention, it, like, became its own thing. And now it's, like, a competitive game to speedrun or whatever now. But it's, like, interesting how that snowballed from something that's, like, super niche. Like, super niche within a niche subculture to something that's mainstream because one person was like, I want to be the best. And it's kind of backfired because now it is competitive all of a sudden. You know?
Yeah. Communities like that have an interesting life cycle because I think it starts out with people that maybe the game was special to them when they were a kid. And so, like, playing it again, it gives you some sense of nostalgia or something. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, other people kind of gravitate around that. And it's like, you're getting the nostalgia and it's easy to get the glory because not many people are playing.
Yeah, because many people care. Yeah. But then if you play it more and, like, people watch it, then it grows into, like, this thing that people want to be good at.
And eventually you're going to get people in there that they never played it before. They just want to play it because to be the best at it.
They're probably going to be better at you than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is an interesting thing because I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to be like the best at something. And I've never been the best at anything in my entire life. And I think we had this a little growing up. Like, I think we both had this kind of competitive thing about, like, I want to be the best at this thing. And I remember when we were kids, and not so much now, but I remember it very distinctly when I was a child. Like, especially with video games. You know, like, all the video games that are popular, there's a guy out there that he's the best, like, or she's the best. Like, they exist already. Like, you have no chance, you know. But at these, like, niche things, you have a chance to be the best, you know. Mm-hmm. So, like, we would, like, find the nichest game and be like, let's get really good at this one game. And even though you do, you're still not the best. Like, there's somebody out there in the world that's better than you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it shows something to my personality because instead of putting effort into something, I'd rather just pick the easy way out and, like, like, try to just be the best by cleverly selecting the easiest thing to be the best at, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I do that too.
It's like, well, this one's really hard. Take a lot of time. This one, no one is good at, so I can probably just win that one. But then,
also, my personality, like, I would feel more glory if a small community was, like, if I was the best in the small community rather than being the best in a large community, because that's less vulnerable in a way.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you get all the glory and all the cool people. There's, like, not any lame people in a small,
like,
group.
It's almost like I would rather be celebrated by, like, 10 people than, like, 1,000. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, 10 cool people over 1,000 random people any day.
So, maybe that's what it is, It's like, as long as, like, a few people think it's cool, then I'm good. And it's, like, a weird thing I've noticed in my life, too. It's, like, as I've aged, like, I care less and less about how many people think what I'm doing is cool, and more about, like, as long as one person thinks it, like, it's fine, you know, as long as I affect one person in a good way, I'm done, you know, I'm
it,
good.
It has to be the right one, though, and sure. that's easier to find in smaller communities where yeah. you have more in common with the average person.
Yeah, that's true. It's wild, though. Anyway, are you ready for your second trivia question?
I'm ready.
Okay, your trivia category is M&M's. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. It's candy. But the question is
M&M's related. Damn it.
Whoops. What would you like?
I'm going to use Monty Hall for this one. I don't know a lot about M&M's.
I screwed that up pretty good. All right, M&M's, the candy. The M and the M and M&M stand for what? Is it A, Matthew and Maribel? Is it B, Manuel and Morgan? Is it C, Mars and Murray? Or is it D, Morehouse and Merriweather?
I think it's Mars and Murray.
What is that?
Those names sound like candy names to me. That's all I got.
That's fair.
What was the first one? The first one didn't sound
Matthew
like
and Maribel, Manuel and Morgan, Mars and Murray, Morehouse and Merriweather.
Matthew and Maribel?
Yeah.
What were the other three?
Manuel and Morgan. Mm-hmm. And Morehouse and Merriweather.
I'm going to lock in the first one, Matthew and Maribel.
And use your money hole?
Yeah.
It's either Matthew and Maribel or Mars and Murray.
I thought so.
Man, you're
I'll go with Mars and Murray. Final.
You're really
answer.
Killing the trivia today. Yeah, you got it. It's right. Man, these aren't as hard as I was hoping that they would be. To be fair, we're really running out. We should probably do this in the show right now. We're running out of trivia. The well is running dry, if you will. we have scraped every trivia website we could possibly find, and it has. And we've gotten, I mean, I feel like we've done this so many times where we just can't find good trivia questions. You know what I mean?
Last week, I asked you the first animated character to wear shoes. Like,
I feel like our trivia is going to have to be going on random wikis, not like Wikipedia, like the Five Goes West wiki, and like reading the like did you know section, and like that's going to be all the trivia from now on, because it's really hard to find good trivia questions on the internet. Like yeah. we've gone through all the BuzzFeed articles and all the, you know, did yeah. you know section on CNN or whatever. And we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel. So my point is, to anyone listening, if you have a great trivia resource, or if you just have a question that you think is really clever and good, send it to us at TimeBatsHow on Twitter or contact at TimeBatsHow.com. Don't send the answer with that. Just send the question. We'll read it. And then one of us will respond to you and be like, all right, now give me the answer. And then we'll put it on the show. Because we need trivia really bad, and we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Here. Anyway, good job on trivia question two.
Thanks.
What were we talking about again? Subcultures.
How we want to be involved with a which one.
Yeah, we'll figure it out one day. I'm fascinated by subcultures.
Me too.
A lot.
Do you want to do some listener questions? Speaking of subcultures, we can get some from our own.
Our own subculture. How small do you think our subculture is? It's pretty small. Are we
10?
Are we bigger than the pin collector's subculture or smaller? It's probably smaller, right?
I think smaller, yeah.
Oh, well, that's fine.
Hey, pin collectors have been around longer. They've had
they
more time.
Have. They have. They have. Anyway, yeah, let's do some listener questions.
So this first listener question is from Manasai on Twitter. She
thank
asks...
Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I just said thank you. Sorry. You're good.
She asks, I watched Harry Potter yesterday. We used a Harry Potter GIF in our question prompt. She says, write Harry Potter as a short verbal story if he got sorted into Slytherin.
Ooh, instead. Oh, man. How would it be different?
I thought about this leading up to
I'm just talking about this. What would you think? So, did anyone in main character in Harry Potter get sworn in the Slytherin? Malfoy, right?
Was Draco,
Slytherin?
Yeah.
Draco was Slytherin. And Ron was...
He was also in Gryffindor.
Was he Gryffindor, too? I guess he was.
Yeah, so was Hermione.
Hermione was in Gryffindor, and Harry was in Gryffindor. So the three of them were in Gryffindor. Draco was in Slytherin. Bunch of nobodies was in Hufflepuff. So Harry gets sorted into Slytherin. So he's with Draco now, right?
That was the first place my brain went. Like, you know, in regular Harry Potter, like the books and the movies, Harry is peerless. He doesn't really have a rival. Mm-hmm. I think if you
I
put
mean,
him
Draco's in... Draco's kind of his rival.
No, he sucks, dude. He's nowhere near.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
Harry Potter is by far the superior wizard, like at all points.
But if you put him in Slytherin...
Suddenly, I think they become rivals.
Who? Him and Draco?
Him and Draco. Like, serious rivals.
Interesting. Like, in, like, a cutthroat way?
In a competitive way, where maybe they motivate each other. Maybe they get into fights.
Now, I don't remember the chain of events, but are Harry and Ron friends before Harry sorted into Gryffindor? They kind of, like, know each other, but they're not, like, super close yet, right?
I think they're definitely friends. If I remember correctly, Harry lives under Ron's stairs.
No, he doesn't. No.
No, previous to being in wizard school.
Oh.
Because Harry was an orphan, and I think Ron's family, like, takes care of him, maybe, or...
I don't think that's true. You maybe have your Harry not. Potter all wrong. That's not what happens at Harry Potter. He meets Ron first before he goes to wizard school.
Maybe on and the
it's
train.
Like a, it's like a family friend or something.
Yeah.
So he definitely, like, he's his, like, ally in the beginning. And he, like, knows him more than anyone else when he gets there. I don't know if they're good friends yet, though. They're, like, decent friends. They're, like, fives on the friend scale at that point. And he doesn't really know Hermione any, really. Maybe a little. So he's sorted in Slytherin, and then I feel like he's going to do a fuck you, Ron thing at that point.
You mean? He'll wind up betraying him or, like,
I just feel like he's gonna ghost Ron. Like, he's not gonna pretend he knows Ron anymore.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Same with Hermione. All those kids, they're never friends.
Yeah.
No way.
Like, maybe he was a little... Maybe I'm misremembering and he was really good friends with Ron before he got sorted. I don't think that's true. I think they were decent. But I think he gets sorted in Slytherin. He starts running with Draco. And he just... They're done. Him and Ron, no. Not friends anymore. You know what I mean? He just doesn't talk to him anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe he makes fun of him instead of talking. Because Draco goads him on or something.
Yeah. I think at the very best, there would be maybe some respect where Harry didn't make fun of Ron, but he definitely doesn't, like, hang out with him and talk to him.
And Hermione, no. Ooh, actually. You know how Hermione
what happens?
Gets with Ron in the books?
Mm-hmm.
She gets with Harry in this new universe.
Okay.
Because Harry is not there to back up Ron anymore, right? So Ron has game because Harry's there. He's like his buddy, you know, his wingman, if you will. And without Harry, Ron is a bumbling mess. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is a mess.
Like, he's not going to get with Hermione without Harry backing him up. You know what I mean? So in this new world, Ron tries and fails. Hermione calls him an idiot, like she does in the first couple books. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then Harry, you know, at some point, third year, fourth year, swoops in, you know, and... They get together. And...
I was going to say, I think Harry would be a more successful wizard if he had been in Slytherin. Because I feel that they're the more prestigious clan or whatever.
They're the most competitive, yeah.
Yeah, or they're the richest, it seems like.
Yeah, I think so.
They have the most resources.
Yeah. And Hermione and Harry get together... But there's, like, a love triangle with Draco. I rewrote it.
So, she gets with maybe Harry originally, because they met on the train at first, or wherever they met. But then Draco, he gets Hermione to cheat on Harry with him.
No, but this is where the rivalry starts, right? Harry and Draco are rivals, but friends. Mm-hmm. And then this happens, and they go from being friends to, like, frenemy rivals. You know what I mean? Like, they, like, don't like each other anymore after this event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Does this change the plot of the book at all, though?
Like, I think it does. It totally changes the plot.
But, like, with Voldemort or anything like that.
Yeah, I think Harry would be more emo, be, like, more attracted to the dark side. He'd learn more, like, dark Jedi spells or whatever.
He's like the Darth Vader of wizards now.
He'd become Anakin.
Oh, and then the books would end with him being evil. And then Ron would have to save the day.
But he couldn't, because he's incompetent. Because
he doesn't have Harry to back him up. Ron's secret weapon is Harry. Like, everybody knows that. Like, Ron can't do anything without Harry, I feel like. You know? So, he would be a loser.
Here's what happens. So, Harry Potter is eventually seduced by Voldemort and becomes, like, the god wizard evil man.
Sure.
Hermione becomes the main character and has to defeat Harry Potter,
right,
who has become Voldemort.
Right. And she probably has to kill him.
She has to kill him. And you know what? She teams up with Draco to do it.
Yeah, that's messed up.
And they wind up together.
And then they have children. And they name their son Harry.
Harry.
And there it is. Harry Potter alternate universe version. You know, J.K. should write a parallel book and call it Harry Potter Slytherin or something like that. You know,
she should take that multiverse concept,
parallel it up.
Yeah,
and then it's, you know, Harry becomes almost like a tragic figure. You know, in this book where he like gets the power, but then he has to get killed by Hermione.
Yeah.
I don't know. There you go.
You can do anything with it. You can merge the two timelines. You can have Harry fight evil Harry.
Oh, like, you know, it's like the new Star Trek where, like, Spock comes from the other dimension to warn young Spock. So, like, old Harry from the good universe comes to warn young Harry in the new universe.
Yeah.
It's like, don't do this. You're going down the wrong path. And young Harry's like, screw you, old Harry. See? It would work. I like it. We would have to need an event. So every good parallel universe needs like an event that causes the split to happen.
Yeah.
So like, for example, in Star Trek, like the guy like blipped into that part of the beginning of the movie, like the bad guy blips into the spaceship and blows it up.
Right.
And it causes his dad to die early or whatever, so it changes the fate of the universe or whatever. So in Harry Potter, there would need to be a reason for him to be sorted into Slytherin instead of Gryffindor.
I've got it.
You know what I mean?
What is it? Harry's parents never died.
In this new universe?
Yeah.
But then why does he have the mark?
Maybe it still happened, but his parents lived.
Oh, so he still got Mark.
Weren't his parents? I'm probably making this up, but I feel like his dad was Slytherin or something.
I think so. I think his maybe dad he was. Wasn't. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he was, or he was Ravenclaw. I always get those confused.
Anyway, I think that's all it would take, because then Harry wouldn't be so desperate for friends that he would be friends with Hermione and Ron.
Doesn't he almost get sorted into Slytherin in the first book, and then like they do something that makes him in a Gryffindor instead?
I think he does. I think when the hat's on his head, he's like, please not Slytherin, please not Slytherin.
And the hat's like, Slytherin. And then Harry's like, not Slytherin. The hat's like, okay, Gryffindor.
Yeah.
Or something.
I think that's how it happens.
Yeah. Hmm. So maybe, yeah, he's not as desperate for friends, and he doesn't say, please not Slytherin. And then the hat just like, all right, you're Slytherin.
Yep.
Wow. And then he dies in the end. So, yeah,
that's Hermione. Hermione becomes the new main character of Harry Potter.
Hermione Malfoy. Oh my god. what else do we got, listener question wise?
Manasai also asks, come up with the most useless new kitchen appliance.
Oh man. There's so many useless ones already.
It can't already exist. It has to be new.
I know, I'm trying to think. What is something you always feel like you need to be able to do in the kitchen, but know that you, like, it would only be useful in that one moment, trying to think. All right, let me imagine cooking, right? Mm-hmm. Cooking. What am I cooking? I need something to cook.
You're sautéing an onion.
Sautéing an onion. So I'm going through the process. I gotta peel the onion, cut the onion, put it in a pan, put some butter on it, butter or oil or whatever in there, turn it up, and then there's not really anything that make that more convenient.
So something that I have on my mind is there's this new trend in our offices right now where people are getting exercise balls as chairs. Mm-hmm. Maybe instead of stove coils, you could have ball coils.
How would that work?
And you have to balance your pan on the ball.
Why would you do that, though?
Because it's...
it's more evenly heating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just make something up. Who cares?
It's like a ball bearing or something.
Yeah.
That sounds so dangerous.
A giant heated coil ball.
A ball bearing. And if it falls out, that sucks. It'll just catch your house on fire. It can roll. No, this is good. Okay. So it's housed in like a... There's like a circular housing for the ball bearing, right?
Like a dimple, right?
Yeah, so it shouldn't really roll out unless like something really bad happens.
Unless you knock it.
But the useful thing about the rolling ball bearing is when you're sautéing your food, you can roll the pan across the ball bearing to like get different parts hot.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So like it's a lot easier to like slide around than a regular thing, right?
Here's what you do.
Yeah!
You can make an inverted wok to cook on it.
Yeah! How would that even work?
Instead of shaped
just
like a...
turn a wok upside down? Your food's gonna fall out of the wok!
Maybe it could be sticky.
It's really sticky.
Or it could have prongs all over it. It could have forks coming out of it.
So you roll your food on the ball bearing to heat it up. Is that what you're saying?
Okay, you have like a semicircle shaped pan. And it fits on the ball bearing. And it's covered in spokes. You slam your onion down on the sharp spokes.
And then you roll it across the ball.
And then you roll it across the ball.
It's like inverted grilling, basically. It's inverted. Instead of grilling food from top to bottom, you're grilling it from bottom to top.
Yes.
Your food is still in the same place, but it's flipped over.
It's a lot more dangerous.
Because there's spokes and ball bearings and all this other stuff. There's all this contraptions. I would love to see a parallel universe where humans invented this way to cook food on a grill instead of the real way that makes sense. There's like a net that you can like put the food. It's like a chain mesh.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you put your food in the pan, and then you chain mesh it down so it doesn't fall.
You chain
it
down.
And then you flip it over and roll it on the ball bearing.
Okay.
Because then it, like, heats it, but it doesn't fall out. You see?
Yeah, all right.
Right?
I mean, it sounds really, really cool.
Okay, so that's one technique. But then another, see, this is like the new ball bearing cooking system, okay?
Yeah.
Because another pan you've got... And bear with me on this one, because this is a little complicated. So, this is a regular pan, but in the middle is a hole.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you put the pan over the ball bearing so that the ball bearing goes through the hole.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's an island. Yeah.
There's an island. And so, like, the edges of the middle of the pan are the most heated parts. Mm-hmm. And the outside aren't as hot. So, like, if you're making, like, a meal that needs hotter food, you know, uneven cooking...
then it's perfect.
Then you move that to the center, And then you can put like a cap on top of the ball bearing, and that's where you put the stuff that needs to get cooked really fast.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so if you crack, you can crack an egg on there, you know, like right on top of the ball bearing.
What happens if you're making like stew and you accidentally lift the pan?
Then something bad happens.
It all spills out onto the stove.
Okay, I got another one. So it's the same thing as the pan with a circle, but instead it's a big pot, okay?
Okay.
And it has a hole in the middle, and that's where you put the pot in the ball bearing. But there's like this extra thing you do once you put the pot down. There's like a seal that you can use to put over top of the ball bearing. It's like vacuum sealed, and it goes... And then you pour all your liquid in it, and you turn it on. And so now you have a heat element inside the pot instead of underneath it.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it cooks a lot faster, right?
You know, and you could make here, and here's the final pot that comes with the ball bearing cooking system. It's just like a big bathtub.
What?
And you heat up multiple ball bearings and then just roll them into the tub that is filled with stew.
You put food in the tub and then you throw the ball bearings in there.
It just uses like a shovel to move.
No, it comes with croquet mallets. Yeah. You can use to like whack the ball bearing around. And like a net. So you can like scoop them up. This is great. I think Gordon Ramsay could sell this. It'll only be like $1,000 because you need like a new stove that's compatible with the ball bearing system, you know. But it'll be worth it. All you have to do is to say you can like make it healthy. You know what I mean? Just use the word healthier than a regular stove, you know, because the heating element is like it's right in the ball. You know,
it's also the slogan. You know, more energy efficient.
I've got the slogan.
What is it?
It's all in the ball.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's energy efficient because it's all in one place instead of using propane that's like shooting gas into the air all the time, vapors and stuff, or electric that just doesn't heat very consistently. It just heats this one ball really hot, and it's just so much more efficient. Don't touch it, though. It's very dangerous.
There could be an infographic with like a bunch of arrows whirling around the ball. Like, this is how the energy flows more greenly through the ball.
I got a final top pan. This is a bonus pan, though. Like, if you call in the next 30 minutes, they throw this one in, you know what I mean?
Wait, there's more.
So this pan, have you seen like a waffle maker? You know how it has like two sides? All right.
Yes.
So imagine that, but a pan, okay? And you put the pan... This also has a hole in the middle. I'm obsessed with the hole in the middle.
Okay.
You put the pan in the middle. And then there's another... The pan has two sides, right? So you, like, close it down over top. And you can move it kind of around. And then at any time, you can flip it over. You have to do it really fast or all your food will fall out. But you can flip it over to the other side of the pan that also has a hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you've got like this waffle. It's not a waffle maker, but it's similar to a waffle maker in that it's like you can flip it around each side
to get it more. Probably make a huge mess.
And if you have like two ball bearings on either side of your stove, you can like flip it from one ball bearing to another. You can do like tricks with it, you know?
Yeah,
like,
this could double as a.
Yes.
As a like skateboarding activity. You could do a kickflip from one burner to the other.
Exactly. So, like, they could have this at, like, hibachis and stuff. So that, like, they can put on, like, a show
with
the ball bearing cooking system.
You know, I think that's where this idea would really excel, in the really? Hibachi environment.
Where they could just do all this crazy stuff. It's like, this is really dangerous. There's no reason to cook like this in any way. But... It's fun to watch.
They can do a trick where the ball, like, flings over people's heads really dangerously.
Yeah, like, he can have, like, a switch that, like, flies the ball into the air, and, like, he could catch it with one of, like, the pans.
Yeah.
Like, got it! And then he, like, swings it around and, like, slams it down on another heating element, you know? This is good. And each heating element is different amount of heat, so, like, you can change where the ball bearing is to, like, cook food different rate or whatever.
Yeah.
The ball bearing, this is a good idea, ball bearing cooking system. Are you ready for your last and final trivia question?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is technology is the category here. What would you like as your final lifeline?
I'm going to use 5-second Google.
Okay. The speed of a computer mouse is measured in what unit? Is it A, pixies, B, lazos, C, quickers, or D, mickeys?
Man, I thought I knew this, but I guess I don't.
I mean, it is DPS or whatever, but yeah. Like this is the cute name for it that someone's
about. Oh, damn. DPS was the one I knew. Or DPI, I think.
It is DPI, yeah, but it's like this is the cute name someone's invented for DPI. All right,
what are they? Pixies?
Pixies, Lazos, Quickers, or Mickeys?
I think it's Pixies, but I'm going to Google it.
Why do you think it's Pixies?
Because it sounds like some computer man made that up. Maybe he's sounds a fan computer-y. Of the Pixies. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds right. All right, hold on. Don't Google yet.
I'm not.
Start your timer.
I don't even know how I'm going to Google this.
All right, I'm ready whenever you are.
All right, I'm ready.
Ready? 3, 2, 1, Google.
Mouse resolution less slang.
Right. It's over. What do you got? It says,
the acronym DPI stands for dots per inch. Something.
You're not going to get this. I think this is on, like, the one site I found it on, and I think the person that wrote the trivia question may have invented this term.
Yeah. I Googled mouse resolution slang, by the way.
Oh, that and probably wasn't the best Google.
Not.
You got anything? No.
No. I think I'm going to have to go with Pixies, final answer.
Pixies is incorrect.
What is it?
The correct answer is Mickey's.
Mickey's?
I think after Mickey Mouse.
Or that cheap beer.
Or the cheap beer, I don't really know. Yeah. That was according to the website I found, which as we've noticed on the show already, we're not really the best with trivia sites anymore. We're really struggling, so it might be completely wrong and made up by... Remember that one that I gave you that couple weeks ago? That was like, who was the first singer in the world? And it was like...
It was totally made up.
It was like Manuel something or other.
Yeah.
Enrico Curaçao. Yeah, that was the question. That was the
guy. That has been my favorite trivia question in the history of this show.
Who was the first singer in the world? Enrico Curaçao. And like someone just invented that name for no reason, which is great.
We have two more listener questions. Let's get to them real quick.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize that. Go ahead.
This one is by Spitfire. Thank you, Spitfire.
Oh, thank you, Spitfire. One of our longtime listeners. Appreciate it.
He asks, best old school cartoon new kids will never appreciate. He says Jetsons / Flintstones as examples.
Old school cartoons. Yeah. I'm going to say Scooby-Doo, I want to say.
That's the correct answer, yeah.
Because Scooby-Doo is so good. Like, it's such a good show. And I feel like we were in the last generation that probably will appreciate Scooby-Doo. I think. I don't know. Maybe that's not true. But I feel like it is. Because it's so old school in the way they do stuff in Scooby-Doo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it combines all of my favorite elements into a very cool show. It's like campy humor, supernatural, mystery, and like dogs.
Dogs, that's the genre.
Yeah.
But it's like goofy, you know? It's like, yeah. I don't know. It's good. It's a good cartoon. I just feel like we're not in a place in society where people would appreciate, like kids would be appreciative of Scooby-Doo. It's not very fast-paced.
No.
I think that's the problem. You know, it's kind of slow, it's kind of lazy, takes its time. It, like, lingers on jokes a little for a while.
Yeah.
It's very character-focused and less, like, story-focused or whatever. you know.
The mysteries, if we're being honest, are usually not very good.
Real dumb. Yeah, like, today people would turn it off because they're like, oh, that's the mystery? Oh, that's stupid. You know, they're probably, audiences today would expect more of a twist. They would expect everything to have, like, a Shyamalan ending, you know?
Yeah.
Like, what? That's so crazy, you know? If they remade Scooby-Doo today, every episode would have, like, a twist that, like, you wouldn't be expecting, you know?
Like, oh, it was actually like, oh, Shaggy was, that did it.
Right, or some stupid shit like that. But as it stands, it was a very predictable show. But that's kind of what made it fun, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, like, oh, Scooby-Doo, I've never thought about this before now, but it also has, like, a for being a show about the supernatural and all that, it has a very skeptical tone because nothing truly supernatural ever happens, even once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, every single, like, creak in the floor, every illusion, every ghost or whatever, they do explain, like, oh, it was just a man in the sheet.
In a mask, yeah, or whatever. And it's funny, because the kids always think it's supernatural, but then it never is.
Yeah.
And, like,
every time.
Like, if you think about the concept of Scooby-Doo, like, we go back to the Flintstones and Jetsons. Like, those concepts, while weird, aren't that strange, because it's like basically a family sitcom just set in a different time period.
Yeah.
If you go back to the drawing board of Scooby-Doo, how did they even come up with this show? Like, there's a bunch of kids in a big van, a talking dog, and they go around solving mysteries, and oh wait, the mysteries aren't like normal mysteries. Every mystery involves someone dressing up as a supernatural entity and haunting, like, a castle or something.
Yeah.
And they have to unmask him and, like, solve it or whatever. Like, that's such a crazy idea for a show. Like, it's three different things, like, pushed into one thing. You know, it's like mystery, supernatural, and kids show all combined into one weird thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make any sense why Scooby-Doo exists, and yet it does.
Yeah.
Like, we take the concept of Scooby-Doo for granted because we know of it, but if a show like that came out today, people would be like, what the hell is going on with this show?
Yeah.
You know, and we would probably just be like, this is stupid. So that's probably why people wouldn't appreciate it.
I agree. Best is Scooby-Doo. He also asks, what is the best reboot cartoon that everyone still loves? And he gives Dragon Ball and Pokemon as examples.
I don't watch a lot of reboot cartoons.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really watch a lot of cartoons anymore, period. But I don't know. Is there anything that's been rebooted recently that's good? I feel like most reboots are bad. Right?
I don't know if I know of any.
You really don't know? I don't really watch cartoons anymore.
Neither do I. I try to watch anime like once a year and it never goes very well.
Anime. Don't get me started.
Okay, I won't.
I feel like, no, you're too late. No, I'm just kidding. I think I try to watch anime like once every couple years and I'm like, I'm just not the audience for that anymore, most of the time.
You know? Yeah.
It's fine.
All right, Spitfire has one more question for us.
Wow, three questions.
If you could talk to and understand one type of animal, what would it be? He says he's thinking maybe sharks, so that he can sharks tell him that he doesn't taste good.
Sharks would be cool, because sharks are cool animals.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. Maybe, this doesn't sound stupid, but maybe birds?
Yeah.
Not because I like birds. The reason is because birds are everywhere. And I feel like if you can talk to birds, you probably can get some, like, knowledge about stuff that you would normally get. You know what I mean? Because they probably see a lot of things because they're birds.
I think the problem with talking to birds, though, is they seem like they would be very wild people, if you know what I mean.
Yes. Like unreliable.
Like, birds have very crazy personalities. You can just kind of tell by watching one. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. They'd probably be unreliable and a little crazy, and they'd probably be really annoying. I wonder if you'd be able to turn this off, because birds would get really annoying if you couldn't turn it off, because every night you would hear caw-caw, caw-caw, and you would hear him saying, I want to have sex with you or whatever the bird is saying. You know,
or like the sex was great. Everybody listened. It was awesome.
Over and over again. And then the female bird is like, shut the hell up. Go to bed or whatever. You know what I mean? You're like, God damn it, I don't want to hear this. So I feel like that would get really annoying really fast.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, birds are kind of spies, right? They're like, they know a lot of things. They're always everywhere. I don't know. I feel like the trade-off is not worth it, though, now that you bring that up.
I might choose birds, too, just because I love birds.
Wouldn't it be cool to talk to owls, though? I mean, that would be dope.
Yeah.
Right? Because owls are, like, the coolest of all the birds, in my opinion.
I feel like they could tell you stories about the night.
Right? Like, right? It's like, last night, da-da-da-da-da happened. You're like, wow, that's so cool. Yeah, I don't know. Birds... I mean, you could do the rote dogs and cats. Yeah, that would be fun. But I don't know how useful that would be. I'm trying to think in terms of usefulness.
The way I feel about dogs is we kind of already can understand their emotions and thoughts pretty well.
Yeah, we don't really need to talk to them. It would be fun and like a fun thing.
Yeah.
But like you can already tell what a dog wants and what they're feeling by the way they act. Because they're very transparent with their emotional states, unlike other animals. So they're just like, when they're happy, they look happy. When they're sad, they look sad. It's really all you need to know about a dog.
Yeah.
And they're probably not very smart. I would rather talk to birds.
Birds are not smart either, but they probably know, they probably see a lot more stuff.
So. Yeah. They're different enough from people that it would be, I think, more interesting.
All right. So I had one Reddit that we didn't get through last week. That I wanted to do. I know you had a lot of Reddits this week, and I'm sorry we didn't get it to any of them, but you save them for next week. But I had this one last week, and I wanted to do it before we ended the show. The Reddit comes from Unusual Alien, and Unusual Alien asks, how does someone politely end a conversation with a person who won't stop talking?
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead with yours.
My response is to end the show is, I have to go to the bathroom.
Whether you actually do or not.
Yep, and then you just leave.
Okay.
Who's our sponsor today? That's
next. Our sponsor today is Masterball Cooking Appliances.
Ooh, I love how you just named it. When you need an adventurous and new healthy cooking experience, choose the Masterball cooking system that uses quantum entangled energy to cook your food quicker, easier, and more healthy than any other cooking system. Choose Masterball. When you're feeling down,
find something that's brown.
There you go. Good night, everyone. Have a great night and drive safely.
Bye.
Bye.